I have two regrets about tonight's shiur. Number one, I'm a little under the weather, so my voice sounds a little strange. You'll have to pardon me for that. The other regret is that the people who will come late will never figure out what this has to do with Parshas Vayigash. The makor of tonight's shiur is a Rabbeinu Bachai in this week's parsha. The Rabbeinu Bachai says this on his own, but I found in Rav Menachem Kasher's voluminous work, Torah Shlema, that Rav Menachem Kasher shows that this is indeed a medrash which the Rabbeinu Bachai fails to quote. But whether it is a medrash or the Rabbeinu Bachai, this is what the this is what the Rabbeinu Bachai says in this week's parsha. Ve'ela shemais b'nei Yisrael habayim mitzrayma Yaakov u'bonov. On that pasuk that we have in this week's parsha, the Rabbeinu Bachai says, Shloishes ha'avais nikru Yisrael. That all three of the avais, all three of the patriarchs, were called with the name Yisrael. In other words, we know, all of us know, that Yaakov was called Yisrael. But what the Rabbeinu Bachai says, and as we mentioned, this is in fact a medrash, the Rabbeinu Bachai says that all of the Avos were called Yisrael. Uvekan, and right over here, is the example of that. Uvekan kairei Yitzchak Yisrael. Here Yitzchak is referred to as Yisrael. Shaharei Omar, because the pasuk says, Ki Yaakov ubonov heim b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk refers to Yaakov and his children as being B'nai Yisrael. Zokta Rabbeinu Bachai, that this is referring that Yaakov and his children are the sons of Yitzchak, who's also called Yisrael. Vim Kain, Hare Yitzchak Nikra B'Shem Yisrael. And he continues, Avram Gam Kain Nikra B'Shem Yisrael. And then he shows that Avram Avinu was also referred to as Yisrael. Zokt the Mahari Asad in the Tshuvas Yehuda Yale, that from this Rabbeinu Bachai we see something very interesting. Zokt the Mahari Asad, Hare HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kara LeYaakov B'Shem Yisrael B'Chaye Aviv Yitzchak Shehaya Gam Kein Shema Yisrael. You see that the Ribbono Shel Olam himself called Yaakov Yisrael. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam called Yaakov Yisrael, Yitzchak was still alive. Which in effect means that Yaakov was called Yisrael even though his father Yitzchak was also called Yisrael. Zok the Yitzchuvus Mahari Asad. That you see from over here, a raya, that it is permitted to call someone a name after a living person. That is the Tshuvas Mahari Asad's raya from this Rabbeinu Bachai. And that is the subject of tonight's shir. Whether, or what exactly is the Chilukei Minhagim, whether it is all right to call, when we name somebody a name, can you call that name after a person who is still living? And can you call, for instance, your own son by your own name? Or can you call him after a living grandparent? That's the subject of tonight's shir. And as we see, the Mahari Asad brings a raya from this Rabbeinu Bachai that it is in fact permitted to call a child after a living person, because Yaakov, who was called Yisrael, was called Yisrael in spite of the fact that his father Yitzchak was also called Yisrael. Well, he's Marcha the Rai for other reasons, and you see that there's stronger rise to this effect. The first person that I found to deal with this Shaila was a Rishon whom we quote many times, and that is the famous Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid in his Sefer Chassidim. The Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid in Simen Kaf Nun Tes says the following: Kol Hanechushim Keneged Hamakpidim. The Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid discusses something over here, which in fact we perhaps should have and will have a shir on in the future. But he says this whole business with Nechushim, which we will loosely translate as superstitions, or this whole business, Zokti Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid, with Ayin Haras, is Keneged Hamakpidim. It only applies to those people who are makbid on them. In other words, if you have certain superstitions, or if you're certain, you're chayshish for ayin hara, this is only a factor if you happen to worry about it. Ve'ein mikan kol dekapid kaptu ba'adei, which means that if you're makbid on ayin hara can affect you. But if you're not makbid on Ayin Hara, then Ayin Hara is not going to affect you. That is what the Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid says. Umitayich she'ein olam yachal hizar b'hakpada is nichshal. The only trouble is, Dr. Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid, is that people can't stop themselves from being superstitious or for worrying about such things, and therefore since they worry about them, that's what why trouble happens. In other words, if you could psych yourself out that I'm not going to worry about Ayin Hara, then Ayin Hara wouldn't affect you. That's what in effect he's saying. The trouble is that you're not going to psych yourself out and you're going to worry about Ayin Hara. If you worry about Ayin Hara, then you have what to worry about. Kol dekapid, if you're makbid, then kaftu bahadei, then the forces are makbid with you. That's what he says in Simen Kuf Nun Tes. Very next siman, Kuf Samach. Nochrim shekairin libneihem b'shem avihem ein bekach klum. Zokt Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid that there is an alta minig among goyim, among non-Jews, that they call their sons after themselves. Mikan the minig of Ichface Robert F. Kennedy and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy III, Vahola, Vachain Weiter. The Goyim have this meaning of calling their sons after themselves. Something closer to home, Cal Ripken and Cal Ripken Jr. Zokti Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid. Nachrim shekarim libneihem ein bekach klum. Nothing wrong with that. Vayehudim makpidin al kach. But Jews are in fact makpid not to call their sons after themselves. So the Peirush under Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid says that this simen Tav Samach is really the conclusion of what he said in Simen Tof Nun Tes, because the Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid just got finished saying that there's nothing to worry about in terms of Ayin Hara if it doesn't bother you. Ayin Hara is only a factor if it bothers you, but if it doesn't bother you, then Gesunta Eit. Zok the Perish, since the Goyim are not makbid, they don't think there's anything wrong, there's no hakpada in naming a father, son after a father, there's nothing, no problem. But Yehudim, Jews, are in fact makbid. And therefore, if they're makbid, then they shouldn't do it, because there is, if you're makbid, that if naming after you is a simon that you're going to die, summa mela das verta simon, that becomes the reality. Rotzaloimar, Rotzalahavi lemashakosav v'simen hakayrim shechol hanichushim kinegen hamakpidim shaharei nachrim karen libneim. That's what the Perush says. And the Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid finishes off by saying, v'yesh mekoymois she'ein karen achar shmos hachayim ela achar shekvar mesu. And there are in fact many places many places where Jews are makbid not to name someone after a living person. And this is the first makor that I found, at least among the Rishonim, that deal with this question of naming someone after a living person. Now, but if this was the minig among by the Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid, you must remember that Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid lived in the time of the Balei Tosfos, in the 10th, 11th, 12th century, those years. But this is certainly not universal Jewish practice from time immemorial. In other words, the Rabbeinu Yehuda HaChassid introduces us to this concept about not naming after the living. But that was certainly not always the practice among Jews. And there are many, many rayas to this. Rashi, this by the way is not my own bekiyas, don't be impressed, but this is the bekiyas of Rabbi Reuven Margolius, who had such a bekiyas. Rashi in Divrei Hayomim, in Kapitel Beis, Pasuk Nun, brings that Kolev had a son named Chur. And Rashi learns in Azazok the Radak and Azazok the Mitzudis that Chur named his own son Kolev, even though Kolev was still alive. So you have in the times of the Tanakh, Kolev ben Yefune, who had a son named Chur, his own son Chur named his son, which means Kolev's grandson, Kolev. And Rashi points out and brings Rayas that Kolev was still alive. Well, but the hakpada isn't on the person who names; it's on the zeta. If because that, I mean that's the mocker of the minig. It's a simon lemisa. Nacharaya. The Yerushalmi in Yuma says that Shimon Hatzadik was the kohen gadol, and Shimon Hatzadik had two sons. One's name was Nachon Yavin or Nachon Yain, and he had another son named Shimon. And they asked him, who should they appoint? And he said they should appoint the son Nachon Yain. Zokti Yushalmi, Bekine by Shimon Achiv. That Shimon, the other son, got jealous when they made the other brother the Kain Gadol. So here you see that Shimon Kain Gadol had a son named Shimon. So you see that it was the minig to name after the living. Or, Araya from the Bavli, this is the Gemara that some of you may know. The Gemara says in Shabbos, and in Perek Blessed Amila, that there was a woman who had a number of children. She had two children, she mauled them, and they both died by Mila. So she went to a person named Nosson HaBavli, and they said, what's going to, she had a third son. So if Nosson HaBavli looked at the baby and he said, wait a few days because I see that the dam is not fully integrated into the system. And they waited and they mauled the child and the child lived. V'hayukairin oisoi Nosson HaBavli al shmi. And they called the child Nosson HaBavli. So you see three riots from Tanakh, from Yerushalmi, from Bavli, that it was the minig among Jews for many years, for many centuries, to name after the living. And in fact, the minig is today among Sephardim, that the Sephardim name after the living. They are makbid bedavka to name after the Zeta. That's a minig among Sephardim. You can have Sephardim that the grandson's name is Avraham, and he's named after the Zeta, whose name is Avraham. And by then they look at it as a school. A matter of fact, the Chidah writes that on Tezai in Shvat, Naseisi Sandik, the Chidah writes in one of his Svarim that he was a Sandik, and Rav the Chidah's name was Chaim Yosef David Azuloi, and he was sitting there as Sandik, and they called the baby Chaim Yosef David. Now try that by a misnagid, or by a chassid, that the name after the sandik, and you'll see a tumult, because we look at it as a terrible ayin hara. But by the Sephardim, it is accepted in common practice. But the Chida points out one thing, and that is Zok the Chida, that even though the Minig is to name after the living, but the Minig is never to name your son after yourself. Which means the Minig that we have by Goyim, that there's Robert and Robert Jr., does Zok the Chida by uns Firtminish, does it? He doesn't say it like that, obviously, because he was a Sephardi, but the Chida says that's not our Minig. We never do that. We never let a father name his son after him. He doesn't say why. He says he was once by a place, and they named the son after the father. V'hoya hadavar zor etzli. It was extremely strange to me to do such a thing. The Chida does not say why. And the Chida, nor have we have any inkling so far as to what is the entire makar of this minig. Why is there such a minig not to name after the living? So the Sefer HaBrius from Rav Meisha Bunim Pirutinsky, which is the definitive work, I would say, on Hilchus Mila, brings from a Sefer called Bris Avais a makar to this minig of at least not naming the son after the father. And once we see the makar from that, we can extrapolate and understand why some people may not have the minig of naming after the living at all. What's the minig? Why is it that you don't name a son after a father? That even if you name after the living, but you never call your own son your name? That's based on a halacha in the Rambam Paskins and the Shulchan Aruch brings la halacha in Yeredeya. And that is halachan kibud avayim v'lo yikreenu bishmai. The halacha is that a halacha mufurashas, a son is not allowed to call his father by his first name. Son is not allowed to call his father by his name. Not only that, but there are more paskins. Not only that, but the halacha is that if your son has someone in your house, and let's say the father's name is David, and your son invites someone over whose name is also David, the halacha is that in your presence, in the presence of the father, the son is not allowed to call the friend David by his first name. In other words, Farshtetzach is a son not allowed to call his father by his first name because that defeats reverence. That's a chisaron in moira. That's to be reverence to a father. Someone who you have reverence for, you don't call him by his first name. Nobody walks into the President of the United States and say, Ron, how's it going? It's Mr. President. So a son is not allowed to call his father by his first name. So Farshtetzach, if the father's name is David, the son can't refer to him as David. But more than that, if the son has a friend over whose name is David, and the father is in the room, the son cannot call his friend by his name David. Zok de Taz, what's the pshat in that? Because if he calls him, hey David, the father will think he's referring to him. Or other people standing by will think that he's referring to him. Azay paskins, that's a halacha. So, Zok de Bris Avraham. That's why you don't call your son by your own name. That's why if your name is David, you don't call your son David. Because look what problems you're creating. What's the mother going to call him? David? What's the other children? The mother is a halbitzar. She can call. What's the other children in the family going to call him? Hey, you? They can't call him David because the father's name is David. So when a stranger comes into the house, okay, gets him zachan eitzah. Aber if you're going to go ahead and you're going to name your son after you, You're going to create a problem for the other children. How are they going to refer to their brother? Memela zok the bris avos, that's why we don't call a child after your own name. So zok the tshuvis mahari asad, that's why some people, he brings from a sefer, Kerem Lishlomo, that's why some people have a minig not to call even after a zeta. Same reason why. Let's say your father's name is David, right? Your father's name is David. Your name, you're Avram, or Yechayth, we'll make it simple. You're Shlomo. You're Shlomo ben David. Now you have a son. What are you going to call him? David? So then again, you have the same problem. Your father will come to visit you. You'll tell him, David, will you cut that out? Right? And then the Zeta goes, you're talking to me like that? So Memela, that's why the Mari Asad says the minig has become, he brings from the Sefer, that's why we don't call after the living, or the Shver for that matter also. Same seer, you have a Shver, he comes to visit, right? You want to maintain good relations. Right? And you have your son who's named the same name, and you go ahead and you curse out your son, and the Shmer thinks you're cursing him out, says Arab Shalom Bayis. Memela Zay Zok the Mari Asad. In fact, the Mari Asad doesn't buy it. And says, that's no Eitzah, that's no Taina. Because from the few visits that the father or the Shver comes, so you'll be careful. So the Mari Asad rejects the Svara of the Kerem Shlomo. But it could be that's why there is a chilik that we do name after a living Zeta, but we don't name after a living father. And the reason is because when you name after a living father, it's a situation that it's always going to have trouble. Your father doesn't live by you always. But your son lives by you. And if the other children, it's a built-in problem. So that's why it could be that even among the Sephardim, who name after the living, but they name after a living Zeta or a living Shver, or one of the grandparents, but they don't name after the father, because that's talking too complex. Because the other children will always have a problem what to call their brother. But the Mari Asad rejects the entire Svar and says that this is not a problem because you can be Zohir. So the maskona of the Tshuvas Mahari Asad is in fact that the whole inyan of not calling after a living person is because in some communities there is a hakpada of Ayin Hara, and as the Rabbeinu Yehuda Chassid says, if you're makbid, you're makbid. But where there is no hakpada, then there's no problem. So what in effect this is saying is, everybody is fine. The Sephardim who aren't makbid, there's no problem. The Ashkenazim who are makbid, there is a problem. The Noihe Katzon Yosef brings down that a person has the right to be meichel. Let's say you want to call after a Zeta, or you want to call after somebody else, but there's a Zeta who has the same name. Or you want to call after your brother is named after a Zeta, and you want to call your children after that. There's no, if the person's not makbid, the person is not makbid. So that comes out lemaisa. I just want to speak out two interesting shilas. The Mari Asad in another tshuva, Simen Kuvav, Chelik Bey Simen Kuvav, has a shila by Ashkenazim, where the minig is not to name after the living, and people are extremely makbid. He brings a maisa of a person whose father's name was Yitzchok Ber. The son had a bris, had a baby, comes to the bris, the Zeta is sitting there, Rabbi Yitzchok Ber, the Kare Shmoy B'Yisrael, Bear. The father heard that, He went mamish out of his mouth. What says bear? Ich heis bear. Naming your son bear? So the son said that his wife has some karev whose name was bear, and I named him bear after that relative. She says, but ich heis bear. My name is bear. She says, well, I thought you're Yitzchok bear. This is thumb bear. Anyway, the father was beside himself. So was tutn. So the Mari Asad came up with an unbelievable Eitzah. I still don't understand how he came up with this Eitzah, but you'll hear. And this Grade is another reason we could speak about it this week. In this week's Parsha is listed the names of the Shvatim and all their children. So one of the names listed for Shtetzach is Shevet Yisachar, and he had four sons, one of them whose name was Yov. Yud Vav Veiz. If you look in Parshas Pinchas, where the Torah goes through the same cheshbon of the Shvatim and their children, you'll see that Yisachar had four sons, one of whom's name was named Yashuv. But Yoiv is mysteriously missing. So the Chizkuni says, what happened? So the Chizkuni says that Yoiv could come into his father Yisachar with a grace atayna. Somehow they named an Avodah Zarah called Yoiv. So imagine how he felt. He went to school, his name was Yoiv, everybody made fun of him. Yoiv, there's an Avodah Zarah named Yoiv. If someone named his son Yoshke. Then the Christians came along, they were Macharish, they were Machta Gotten Yoshke. I mean, how would you feel? Das passiert. So what did Yisachar do? He said, Pasha, I can spare you a sin. Why? Because it's Taki Yisachar. So he had one extra sin. Memela states, he brings that he took one of his sins, and sin and shin are interchangeable, and he made it Yashuv instead of Yoiv. And that's how Yoiv became Yashuv. Matter of fact, there are some people that hold, with a grace of tumult, how do you pronounce Yisachar in the Torah? This is a subject that is dear to my heart. So she says, Yisachar, Yisachar, the first time Yisachar, and after that, what do you do? So some people hold that up until Parshas Pinchas, it's Yisachar. But in Parshas Pinchas onwards, when you have that, it was Yashuv. So then, Enoch Inami, it goes from Yisachar to Yisachar. Some people have said that's a mistake. Anyway, what does it have to do with us? Zogt der Mari Asad. Zet men doch from here that you can add to a name. You see that Yisachar gave a whole new letter to this son Yoiv and changed his name to an extent that it changed the entire way the name is sounded. So he said, you got a problem. Your father doesn't like that his grandson's called Bear. She says, you know what you should do? You should add to his name a Mem Nun. And his name should be Bearman. So he says, Bearman. Unzolar Hasen in Laz, the way you should call him Bearman. But Bearman, he says, Bear is a kili for Yisachar. A lot of people have the name Yisachar Dov, Yisachar Bear. So to the Torah, he should be called Yisachar. Why? Because his name is Bearman. Bearman is a kili for Yisachar. So when he gets called to the Torah, it should be Yisachar. His father, the Zaydeh, when he gets called to the Torah, is called Yitzchak Dov. And we should go around, what should everybody call him? Bearman. And how do you know that you can do that? You see that from Yashuv and Yoiv. Azei Paskin, the Mari Asad. As I told you, I still don't know. I'm like, what gave him the Ein von Berman? So you should know, Grada, there is such, like, for the Muslim name Lipman. Lipman, what's the name? Lipman, Yontif Lipman. Because Lipa is a name which means Liba, person that you love. So Lipman is a name, a love child. That's what Lipman means. So you hear this, Berman is Berman, that's Yisachar. Are they passing to Maria son? That's one child. The second child I want to speak out, and this actually gets into a whole different vikuach, which is Grada, a very interesting vikuach. At a shaila that the Yabia Omer, or Rav Avadi Yosef, declares in Chelek He Simen Chaf Aleph. And what was the shaila? The shaila was, there was a family, newlywed, they were blessed with a Ben HaBechor. They were Sfardim. Both Zaydis were living, and both Zaydis wanted that the child should be named after them. Here the merchak between Ashkenazim and Sfardim. First we had a shaila that the Zayda was livid that they called him Bear. Now we have a shaila, we have a machloikis. The father wants the name after his father, and the mother wants the name him after her father. So first he brings Grada an interesting medrash. He says, Harishayim shahayu mishtamshin beruach hakodesh hayu motzin shem al shem hama'ira. Avol anu she'ein lanu ruach hakodesh anu motzin l'shem aviseinu. So you see a difference in Tanakh. That often for many years throughout Tanakh, when they gave a name of somebody, they gave them because of an incident. Hapam Levi, Hapam Yilove Ishti, Echveis Zvulin Yizbaleni Ishi, Yosef Osaf Hashem Iskarpasi. They called children names because of events. Zok the Medrash, because they were Mishtamesh Baruach HaKadosh, they knew what these events meant, so they named children after events. We who don't know Ruach HaKadosh, we name children after people. Then he goes through the entire shmuz, the machlekes, that they're not a machlekes, but Sfardim name after the living, Ashkenazim don't name after the living. But his basic shaila, which he deals with, is also a very important shaila, and that is, who has the right to name the first child? Does that belong to the father, or does that belong to the mother? So he brings a famous Das Sekenim Ibali HaTesvis. Very interesting Das Kenan. The Das Kenan brings a raya from a pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. Pasuk says in Parshas Vayeshev that when Yehuda's first child was born, Vayikra Eshemo Er. Then it says he had a second child, Vatikra Eshemo Onan. First he called him Er, then she called him Onan. What was the third name? Third child? Vatele Bain Vatikra Eshemo Shela. Vatikra. So the first child, Vayikra, he called, Yehuda called. The second child, she called. So everybody can play this game. So who should have gotten the third child? Yehuda, Vayikra. Vashte Vatikra. Zoktataz Kenan, beautiful. V'haya b'chziv b'lidita oso. The pasuk says Yehuda was in ksiv when she gave birth. So the Taskin, you know what the pasuk is being masber? Why didn't Yehuda give the name? It was his right. He gets first, therefore he gets third. Zok the pasuk, because since he was in ksiv, he was away. He happened to be in the city named ksiv, so he wasn't around to name the baby. So she got it. But what do you see? You see that the first name goes to the father, the second name goes to the mother, and we should alternate except Yehuda wasn't around. Zok the Ramban al Hatayra brings this Das Zekenim, and he says, Ein boy loy tam v'loy reyach. The Ramban rejects this pshat out of hand. Now,
So Rav Avad Yosef goes through the following shaila before he comes to the conclusion who has the skus. But he says, let's say people, and it's important. I mean, the point that he's trying to make, it's very important to know the skus. Why? Because let's say we have a couple that Baruch Hashem have shalom bayis. The mother wants to name it after her father, and the father says, fine, shalom bayis. For shalom bayis, I'll do anything. But the question is, if he has the right, which means that his Zayde has the right, it's a question of bizoyin for his father not to exercise his schus. In other words, he cannot so willingly say, okay, take it. You name it after your father. You name it after your Zayde. You can't do that. Because if he legitimately has the right, if he doesn't exercise his right, it's l'chaira not being mechabed his father. Now you may say, ah, so what? Are they geferlach? So he brings an unbelievable thing from a sefer called Pri Ha'aretz. An unbelievable thing. That the Pri Ha'aretz wants to say that, you know, Chazal tell us many reasons why the sons of Aaron died. Not of Avil, the two first sons of Aaron died. So he brings from a Pri Ha'aretz, which brings from a Medrash, that you know why, among other reasons, why the two sons of Aaron died? Because what was Aaron's first son? Nadav. You know why he named him Nadav? Because his wife's father's name was Aminadav. And his second son he named Nadav v'Avihu. Avihu. He named his second son after his father. So since the minig is that the father names the first child after his father, and Aaron named it after his wife's father, because of that, Shnei b'nei Aaron were Mesu. Because he was Mevasa his father. So he says, this is not something to mess with. It can be a shalaf and bizarre. So he goes ahead and says that even though, he says, the minig among Sfardim is that the father has the first name, even though that is the minig among Sfardim, and all things being equal, you should exercise that right, because you should not be mevazi your father. But when there are extenuating circumstances, then everybody's meideh that you do not have to stand on principle. What is an example of extenuating circumstances? Let's say the father's father is alive, and the mother's father was nifter. And it's a schus for the nifter to have a child named after him. So he says, on this case, everyone will agree that it's kedai to be mevater on principle and give the schus to the mother. Not only does he say this al pisvara, but he brings a meister rav. The Rabbeinu Yoina had a son named Shlomo. The Rabbeinu Yoina from the Shari Tshuva, from the Perish Rabbeinu Yoina, the Aliyah Rabbeinu Yoina, from the Gedali HaRishonim, had a son named Shlomo. You know who Rabbeinu Yoina's son married? He married the Ramban's daughter. And when the Ramban's daughter was pregnant, during her pregnancy, the Rabbeinu Yoina died. So the Ramban writes that even though technically the child should be named Moshe after me, but since her father just died, and it's a schus to name a child after the nifter, therefore, Dr. Ramban, it's only proper that to name the child Yoina. And that's what happened. They named the child Yoina, and he stayed in Chazal, a state in the mid, v'nofik minei gavra rabba. So what Rav Avadya Yosef's point is, that it is the minig among Sfardim, at least, that the father gets the first name. And under all circumstances, under everything being equal, the father should take exercise his right. But b'mokum extenuating circumstances, for instance, the mother's father is dead and it's a schus, then you can be mevater. Or, he says, if there are other extenuating circumstances and the Zeta himself wants to be Michael. In other words, the father's father says, listen, I don't want to fight, I want Shalom Bayis, go ahead, Gzim Tehid Avadi, I have the right to be Michael. But it seems to be that among Ashkenazim, the minig is that it is the mother who has the right for the first name, at least that's the minig, I think, among today. And again, Kol Echad Yavai Al Mekayim B'Shalom. What you must bear in mind is that minhagim are very nice, but they also have to be judged in context. And when there's a shaila from shalom bias or a shaila from extenuating circumstances, you have to take these things into account. And even though a person may have a schus, but it's not the type of schus that chas v'shalom there should be machlekes over. So hayetze midvareinu is that we see that in two things we have chiluke deis between the minhagim. Among the Ashkenazim, we do not name after the living, and the main reason seems to be merely ayin hara. Among the Sfardim, we do name after the living, and the min, and because they're not makbid, except even Sfardim don't name a son after his own father. Ne'ezetam shi'iya. And another thing is that the Sfardim seem to have the minig that the father retains the first name. Other kehilas, the mother has the first name, but again, discretion and common sense and seichel should be used about whether it is kedai or not kedai to be makbid on these minhagim. Pasuk says in this week's parasha that before Yosef's brothers went back to their father, Yosef told them, "Vayomer aleihem." Al tirgazu badarech. So the Gemara in Tainis darshens from this a number of halachas. Omar Abu Lazar, Omar lehem Yosef, al tisasku bidvar halacha, shema tirgaz aleichem aderech. The Gemara darshens from these words that Yosef told his brothers, al tirgazu badarech, a number of halachas in derech eretz. One is al tisasku bidvar halacha. On the road home, you shouldn't talk in learning. You should keep it light. If you do talk in learning, it should only be bekiyistik. Do not get involved in a sugi on the road. B'mas nisa tana al tifseu al tafsiu pesia gasa. In the Mishnah, they said this meant something else. That you shouldn't take large steps. These were Yosef's instructions to his brother. They had just had this emotional meeting. They had finally met him. It was, I mean, you can imagine the emotion, the trauma, all that went through their minds. What are Yosef's parting words to his brother? Al tirguzu baderech, which the Gemara interprets to mean al tisasku bidvar halacha, or al tafsiu psia gasa, which means don't take large steps. That's very strange. First of all, these are common halachas and hilkas derech eretz. The brothers didn't know until now that you shouldn't get involved in learning on the way. When you're driving down the turnpike, you shouldn't be trachting and learning because you could get into an accident. The brothers didn't know that. These are hilkas derech eretz. Or al tafsiu pesia gasa, you shouldn't take a large step. And the Gemara continues, why? Domar mar pesia gasa, and they tell us, achas mechoma ishmeyais mimor einav shalodom. When you take a large step, it decreases and diminishes your eyesight by 1/500. These are halachas of derech eretz. This is what Yosef has to tell his brothers. Don't take large steps. because taking large steps diminishes one's eyesight. So Zok de Be'er Yosef, that Yosef had much more significant things on his mind. And he was telling them much more deep and meaningful things than these halachas of Altir Gezu Baderech. What Yosef was in effect doing was he was chastising his brothers. Because how did this whole event of Mechiras Yosef come about? The brothers donned him, as the Mefarshim say, that he was in fact Chayiv Misa. The brothers thought that Yosef was a Baal Lashon Hara, that Yosef was telling things about them to their father. The Achim, the brothers, judged him as a Rodef, as a person who was trying to endanger their lives. And therefore, Chazal tell us that the brothers got together and they had a bezdin and they had a diyun and they paskined on him, and it was all done kedas v'kedin l'shem shamayim. But frektach the kasha, you're dealing over here with dinei nefashis. You have a father, Yaakov Avinu, is the gadol hador. You don't check with him. You're out there in Shechem on the road, in some kind of camp, and you go ahead and you deal with such earth-shaking matters, baderech. You have a yeshiva shein ve'ever where the gadol hador sits, and you're paskening dinei nefashis on the New Jersey Turnpike. You don't go and ask a shaila. That's what al tirgazu baderech means. Al tisasku bedvar halakha. When you have to make such a decision with such import, it has to be done with a nesinus. It has to be done with a deliberation. It has to be done with a kovod roish. It has to be done with a seriousness that one cannot do haphazardly on the road. And that was your crime. In your zealousness to accuse me, you missed basic principles of halacha, which are hevum misunim badin, that a dayan has a responsibility to be deliberate and to be patient. That's what al tirgazu baderach means. And al tafsiu pisi agasa doesn't mean don't take large steps. But Chazal tell us, Minaha milsa damu rabbanan hevu masunim badin. Chazal tell us, where do you learn out? The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, where do you learn out this principle that a dayan, that a judge, has to be deliberate? Because it says, Leisalu b'malais al mizbechi. When the Kohen went up to the Mizbeach, he didn't take steps, he went up on a ramp. V'samich lei ve'elu mishpatim. Kishem shehizir HaKadosh Baruch Hu es HaKayhanim shlo yu paisin pesiyas gathais. Just like the Kayhanim are not supposed to take large steps, so too the Dayanim have to be deliberate in their deliberations. In other words, this expression, psiya gasa, is a terminology that's used in Chazal to connote, don't be rushed when you paskin a din. And that's the symbolism, that a psiya gasa diminishes a person's eyesight by 1/500th. What does that mean? You take a large step, you're going to see worse. But if you take a large step, which means to chop, you want to go quickly, you're not patient, it diminishes your eyesight. It diminishes your perspective. It diminishes your clarity of vision. That's what Yosef was telling his brothers. Don't let this happen again. Your crime was a crime because you were too much in a hurry. You weren't mesunim badin. And that's why we're in the matzav that we are now. Chazal tell us, Pasuk tells us, that Yosef, Vayidabru Eilav, is called Divrei Yosef, Asher Diber Aleihem Vayar Esho Agolois, Asher Sholach Yosef Lasseis Oso. that the brothers came and they told Yaakov that Yosef was still alive. And Yaakov was skeptical. But the Pasuk says that when he saw the Agolos, he saw the wagons that Yosef had sent, Vatechi Ruach Yaakov Avihem, Yaakov knew that his son Yosef was still alive. Famous Medrash, which virtually every darshan who ever picked up a pen to write on Chumash, Shtoltzach on this Medrash. Chazal tell us that the sugya, which Yosef and Yaakov, the last sugya which they learnt all those many years before, was the sugya of Egla Arufa. So when Yaakov saw the Agolos, the play on words, he saw the Agolos, this reminded him that they learned the sugya of Egla Arufa. And when they saw, Yaakov saw that Yosef sent the Agola to remind him, we held in Egla Arufa, Vatechi Yurach Yaakov Avihem. See, all the Mefarshim are bothered. Why did he send him? What was the message? What's so significant about the Parsha of Egla Arufa? So the Beis Yisrael, one of the Ger Rebbes, it's a beautiful pshat. And what was the symbolism of the Parsha of Egla Arufa? Because in the previous Pasuk of Gimel, the Pasuk tells us, Ula Aviv Sholach Kazais Asara Chamayrim. The Pasuk says that Yaakov sent gifts to everyone. And to his father he sent 10 donkeys, Naisi Mituv Mitzrayim. Zok the Maral, in the Gur Aryeh al HaTaira, why did he send 10 donkeys? What's up is 10? Why not a dozen? What was the symbolism that Yosef sent to Yaakov 10 donkeys? Zok the Maral, the 10 donkeys were symbolic of the 10 brothers that sold him into slavery. What does that mean, Dr. Maral? He wasn't calling his brothers Chas V'Sholom donkeys. But what he was trying to send a message to Yaakov was, don't blame the brothers. Don't blame yourself. Because the brothers are like 10 donkeys. Donkeys schlep, they carry. They don't know why they carry or where they're carrying. They're just doing a mission. Yosef was telling Yaakov, there are going to be recriminations now. You're going to say the brothers sold him. You're going to blame yourself and say, had I not treated Yosef with favoritism, perhaps this wouldn't have happened. Perhaps this could have been prevented. No! The brothers are like donkeys. They're schlepping and they don't know why they're schlepping. This is a grand plan. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it this way. We had to go down to Mitzrayim. The brothers were like puppets in the hands of a puppeteer. They're like the chamayrim that schlep and do but don't know why. And that, Zok the Beis Yisrael, is the message of Egla Arufa. You know what Egla Arufa is? Loi noida mihi kohu. You find a dead body. Loi noida. You don't know. You don't know why he's dead, where he's from, who is he? Why was he killed? Who killed him? You know what Egla Arufa says? Loi noida. We don't know. Don't second guess Hashgacha. Don't second guess Providence. Mevesnisht. That's how the Ribbono Shel Olam is fearing his world. The brothers slept. Everything happened because it had to happen. No finger pointing. No recriminations. perhaps the biggest taina that people have on Gedolei Yisrael in this century, and why people, Rachmana Litzlan, question Emunas Chachamim, is they all point to pre-war Europe, when many, many Eden came to Rebbes, to Rabbeim, to Rabbanim, to Rosh Hashivas, and they said, should we emigrate to Eretz Yisrael? And it was the haskama of most Gedolim, no, stay in Europe. And they stayed in Europe, and a Holocaust happened. So people turn around and say, you see, the Gedolim were wrong. The Gedolim don't know any better than we do. There's no such thing as Amunas Chachamim. The Gedolim were smart. They would have said, go to Israel, and Klal Yisrael would be a better Klal Yisrael today. That's a wrong hashkafa. That's what Egla Arufa tells us. Loi noida! We don't know. We don't know why it happened. We don't know why the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a Holocaust, but we know He wanted it to happen. And if He wanted it to happen, He's going to make it happen. And if He doesn't want His people to emigrate to Palestine, then they won't emigrate to Palestine. The truth of the matter is that a theoretical case could be made that had they all immigrated to Palestine, they would have been killed there also. People forget that there was a general named Rommel. And people forget that he ran over North Africa. And people forget that he fought with Montgomery and lost. But you know why he lost? Because he ran out of gas, literally. Because Hitler, Yamach Shemai, did not give chashivas to the campaign in northern Africa. So therefore, he didn't supply Rommel with the necessary supplies. Rommel was a better general than Montgomery. Montgomery was no genius like the British want us to think. Rommel ran out of supplies. Stell sich vor, imagine if there were 2 million Jews sitting in Palestine, hundreds of miles away from North Africa, from El Alamein. How do you think Hitler would have looked at that campaign? He would have given him the gas, and Rommel would have defeated Montgomery, and he would have crossed the Suez, and he would have gone into Palestine, and he would have slaughtered the community there. So don't second guess Hashgacha, and don't second guess Chachamim and Amunas Chachamim, and don't think we can figure out Hashgacha, because that's what Egla Arufa is about. Loi Naida, we don't know, and sometimes we're like Chamayrim that just do and don't know why we do, but Azay vil the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Now, it is easier than ever to order additional tapes by Rabbi Friend. You may do so in 4 convenient ways. By phone at 410-358-0416. By regular mail to the Yad Yechiel Institute, Post Office Box 511, Owings Mills, Maryland, 21117-0511, or by email at tapes@yadyechiel.org, or you may visit our website at www.yadyechiel.org and order online from our secure site using your credit card. While there, you can view the entire library of Rabbi Fran's tapes. Thank you.